chilling, man.
Love a good motorcycle.
I love a good motorcycle. Welcome to Pod as a Woman. I'm Eli Olsberg.
I'm Teresa Lee.
And wow, so excited this week, covering another one of my favorite songs on the album, Bloodline.
Yes, one of your favorites. It's okay for me right now, but we'll see if I change my opinion at the end.
Oh, yeah.
I've been known to change my opinion after a hearty discussion. So.
That's happened a few times, yeah. And Who's joining us this week?
Today we have Simon Gibson and MK Paulson.
Wow. Good one, MK.
Oh, we had the mics down.
Yeah, the mic was down. You missed the joke. He said a very funny joke, and then we
That was actually, what was impressive was right before I hit record, Simon was in the middle of singing Bloodline, and as I hit record, it's like I hit the stop button on Simon.
I'll tell you this.
Okay.
The song? It's catchy. I'll give it that. It's very catchy.
I'll give it that.
You're real life roommates as well. Yes.
We are real life roommates.
Oh, real life roommates.
All right.
For life.
For life.
Partners.
For life. For life.
You guys are bloodline.
Yeah, we're the blood.
Not by choice. I wish.
You're on a lease line.
I'm sure we could agree we both would
Ironically,
rather have.
Ironically, we both aren't on the lease.
Not on the lease, no.
You're both not on the lease.
We're basically squatting.
They're squatting.
Yeah.
No.
Oh, spectacular.
Should we say that?
What's your address and social security number?
Please give us all your
on Middlebury. I'll give my home address. I don't care. MK will care. I want you to find me.
The other thing is there's like 15 comics that live in our building.
There's 27 comics that live in one
apartment.
I already know the building you're talking about. Yeah. As soon as you said that, I was like, oh, that building.
That's funny.
So come visit. You know where it is.
I've been. Yeah, yeah. I'll just walk. I bet I could literally walk in and be like, I just moved in a week ago and nobody would question it.
I wouldn't question. I would assume you were moving into my room.
Yeah.
Like, well, I gotta go or stay. I don't.
Yeah. Let's jump right into it.
Yes.
Before we jump into the track, we want Ariana opinions. Mm-hmm. Just in general, prior to the song and prior to us asking you to be on the podcast, were you fans? Radio level, not a fan at all. Don't like pop music. Both of you at the same time. 1, 2, 3, go. Just kidding.
Like
somebody
her. Gay. No.
Straight-ish.
Oh, that wasn't the question.
No. MK, do you want to go first?
I like Ariana Grande. I'm nervous being on this podcast because I do feel like music is kind of my great failing. Like I like playing the piano.
He has many.
More than one. But I do think, I don't know, I just like don't get into specific artists and like do deep, you know, like everybody like is so obsessed with somebody. I'm never that kind of guy.
But you have opinions.
But I do have opinions. But I'm also like, my opinions are usually, oh, I like the top 40s on the radio.
Sure, yeah.
So that's kind of.
But I think I know what you mean, because sometimes you feel like everyone has these strong, deep opinions where you're like, well, I just won't touch it. That's how I feel sometimes about like fandom movies.
It's like sports. It's like people are so passionate about sports. I'm like, I don't have the time to do the deep dives. Or I just don't have the passion for it. I don't know.
This is also a little dig at me.
The sports
because,
fan.
Because, okay, there's one thing that I watch sports-wise. It's the NBA. Mm-hmm. And it's the playoffs right now. MK's.
And he's
a
big Trailblazers guy.
Yeah, big Portland guy. And, I wear the outfits. I'm wearing the outfits in there. MK has walked down. It's just Simon on the couch watching his team. I'm completely alone.
Dressed up to watch alone. Love it.
Yeah. I'm completely alone, dressed in the outfits. So, MK, you know, his whole sports stuff.
I feel like you think it's personal, but I didn't mean it that way.
It feels very personal because I ask you to watch it with me every time.
Well, wait a minute. Something just clicked when you were saying that. I always think it's funny that Portland does have like a staunch basketball. Like the city of Portland to me.
Oh, it's all we got.
Yeah, exactly. But oh boy, is it. Like it's so funny to me where Portland really like, they're like, well, you know, we're vegan. We are very progressive. Also basketball. Yeah. Like it really turns up to 11
on the blood of our enemies.
Yeah. and where do you stand, Simon, on Ariana?
On pop music, I find, most pop music, I almost burped into the microphone to describe pop music, but I won't do that. I am pretty convinced that Ariana Grande is a cyborg built by a computer algorithm. Mm,
interesting.
And when I was listening to that song, I was like, this is, you know, I ain't no mathematician, y'all. I ain't no scientist.
I love this, like, I love that you're like from the deep south. You're like,
yeah,
Ariana.
All of a sudden you're not a scientist,
pop,
you're a mathematician,
music.
But
yeah.
You're from the south.
This is how I relate to people. Yeah, y'all, you can trust me. I ain't no, but here's what I ain't.
What you ain't?
Here's what I ain't.
Okay.
I told you what I ain't. Now right, listen right. to what I ain't. When I listen to that music, I do feel like I'm hearing math, you know, because mm-hmm. it all follows a very similar structure, and you know, people would be like, well, that's called the structure of a song, Simon. And but it all has the same little, you know, when at the end when she's like, don't want you in my, oh, get it out of, in between every single chorus verse. Uh-huh. I was like, oh, it all follows very strict,
it's like formulaic
sort of, yeah, uh-huh. Very incredible formula. And I listened to the song twice on the way over here.
Mm-hmm.
Never heard it before, and I know almost every single word to it.
Mm.
And I can't get it out of my brain,
yeah.
And I'm going to end up drilling into it like that guy from Pie.
I feel like by the end of this podcast, you're going to be a huge fan.
Yeah,
I mean, I will have been, you know, turned.
I'm surprised. That you, do you like Ariana Grande like as a person or a personality?
I don't know that she's a real person. I mean, that's what I'm saying. I'm pretty sure she is also a cyborg.
But wasn't the whole thing about Ariana, and correct me if I'm wrong, that she has been very approachable on social media, or at least the facade of approachability, and like,
yeah,
she was really in first into the stories on Instagram, and mm-hmm, so people mm-hmm. really felt like they were in her life.
Yeah.
And she always did these silly, goofy little things that like,
yeah.
And that was part of the appeal for a long time.
She's very active and puts out her own like, yeah, stories and tweets, and she quips back at our fans.
Yeah.
That's a big nice. Thing.
Also, I just want everyone listening to know that I respond to all my fans as well. So
so if you
slide into
if
those
you,
DMs.
If you disagree with Simon, sound off in his replies.
Sound off. Instagram, Simon Gibson. Just look me up. You'll find me. I'm very easy to find.
Well, actually, I have a question for you then. I have two questions. One is, do you approach other art that way? Like when you watch a movie, does formula provide more comfort than it does in music?
Well, I guess that's where I'm a hypocrite, because like I have on purpose watched Rampage starring The Rock. You know,
yeah,
I love
okay.
shitty movies.
Not
even that long ago.
It was recently.
That's based on that video game.
Yeah.
Based on a video game. I literally, in movies, it's like I'll watch, you know, I mean, I'll watch the Pacific Rims
sure.
of the
uh-huh.
world.
Oh, what
you
were
know?
You watching the other day? The one with the shark. The
oh,
Meg.
Yeah. I watched The Meg with Jason
oh,
Statham.
My God. Yeah,
every
yeah.
horrible action movie on HBO. I'm all about that shit.
Well,
I
think
it.
They...
So my taste... And then I'm a music snob. You know, I'm just like, you know...
That was going to be my next
Sound
question.
Sound of Silver is the best LCD. You know, I'm an asshole about music. But movies, like art house movies, if I go to see them with someone, I'll be like, wow, I need to start seeing more movies. But if I'm just at home, I mean, it's The Meg all day. You know?
that's actually, I feel like that's very common.
Is
like
it?
That's not, I don't think that's a surprising thing at all. I think because pop music, I think music does have a formula. Music in general has a formula. So anytime if you're talking to someone who listens to something very dense
yeah.
in music, I think there's some kind of intellectualizing that goes with that. Whereas movies it's like, the same office, but different part of the building is the only way I can
yeah.
describe that. Where like, so if something's like exploding and that's entertaining, you're looking at it,
yeah.
and it doesn't. When you're done with it, you're not thinking about it. Like the song now is stuck in your head. There's not a scene from The Meg that you're replaying right now over and over and over and over.
Honestly, I can't even remember.
Yeah, exactly.
I really don't. I was looking at
that's
my phone
I mean.
Most
it's,
of the
it's literally like empty calories.
Yeah.
And
buddy, I'm
but I guess
with those.
My rebuttal is then also, but most music has the same structure, right? Like even. Like what would you say your favorite thing is? Like singer songwritery? No, you're more.
I would say it's pretty eclectic, but...
I mean, yeah, but I think, like...
Who's your favorite band?
Right now?
Yeah.
Oh, man, I just heard of this group, TV Girl. You heard of these?
No.
Yeah, they're pretty good. It's like sampling and, you know, singing.
Sounds like pop music.
Kind of funny.
Do you like Robin?
Love Robin.
I love Robin. Yeah. Robin's probably my favorite.
Yeah.
Oh, time. I like Robin a lot.
Robin, yeah. Robin also has like cool. a sound the same across yeah. many of her songs as yeah. well.
Yeah. But and I didn't think her last I didn't actually like her last album as much. There were a couple tracks from it, but Well, but I do think at some level music is all kind of as somebody that's playing the piano right now. I'm taking piano. I'm trying to write stuff.
MK's it is like, practicing in his room, and his room is right above the living room. And this a little inside.
For the longest time, Simon just thought I was.
I thought he was violently masturbating, or like because there's always this like kind of like this like, but it's him like tapping his feet, but yeah. it sounds like a bed just like violently rocking back and forth. I was like,
I'm playing Mary Had a Little Lamb.
Mary
still masturbating, well, but just playing.
But also playing.
That's pretty impressive, playing the piano and masturbating. If you can do that, hey. I mean,
I'm a big fan.
Got a hand.
And he's singing at the same time. He's also
Mama
singing.
Made me yeah, munch yeah. my M&M. Oh my god.
How long have you been playing piano?
Well, I took lessons for a long time growing up, and then so like 6, 7, 8 years okay. growing up, and then I didn't really live with the piano for like the last, I don't know, 10 years or so, and then so last 2 years I kind of picked it up again. I got a piano, and so I've been playing, and I've been taking lessons again, and I really like it. I'm trying to do more musical comedy stuff.
That was going to be my next question. So you're incorporating more on stage?
Trying to. It is. I mean, you know, you think like musical comedy is so hard to not. It's so easy to let it blur into hack.
Mm-hmm. Oh, like very, yeah.
And like in my head, I'm like, Bo Burnham was one of my big inspirations when I started. I was like, oh, yeah. I want to like Bo Burnham-y very fast, really great writing. But he's also an incredible piano player. Like some of those songs he wrote are actually very, you know, it's not just like three chord songs. Yeah. And so when you combine all those things, you're like, oh, it's actually so much harder to do this than I really thought it was going to be going into it.
I do wonder when like Bo Burnham or Donald Glover, when people who like really do the multi-hyphenate thing, I do think there's, when I see people like that, I'm like, oh, that's a, all of it's the same. Like, I don't even know how to describe it, but to me, it's all one giant equation to them. So even if he's making a movie, he's still looking at it with whatever the same prism that he's looking at writing a song.
But I think it's a different skill, because it's like, actually, when you mention Donald Glover, like, when he makes music, and he makes sure to differentiate with the names, you know, like, as Childish Gambino, he's not really doing funny songs. Like, no, it's much like... He separates it. But then Bo Burnham is combined, like his form is comedy. Yeah.
But Bo's even like, kind of expanding on what you said, Eli, is like Bo's even like got into directing. And like, he's like, they pursue these different skills.
Yeah, I guess what I mean is more not the actual, like, I wouldn't classify them as the same thing. I guess what I mean is it's the same, but the math in their head of how they're doing it, they're taking the same approach, even if it's a different output.
You're starting from like, oh, I have a story. Where should it go?
Right, exactly. Yeah. And they really can study it. And so it's interesting because a lot of times, I remember in the 90s, like people who would try to have like actors that had bands, it was embarrassing. I mean, Russell Crowe has a band and it's, check it out sometime if you get a chance. Highly recommend it just for a good laugh for 5 minutes.
Do you think Ariana's like that? Do you think she just a music person?
Well, she was an actress first.
Right.
She was a child star. Mm-hmm.
Classic. That's how they build them up.
But she doesn't really play
the
instruments.
The robots.
I mean, her voice is her instrument. That's like, and it's so powerful.
She does that. Yeah,
that's what I tell people too. Yeah, the voice is the thing.
Well, she does. Yeah,
let me in your band.
We've had a lot of theories on the podcast, like about like what if she took a break from music, would she do acting again? And I don't remember where we both landed on it, but I remember I was like, I think one of it for me is I think she's going to end up doing like Broadway.
Yeah.
Or like, oh, you think so?
Oh yeah, because she's a big musical theater person, and she certainly has the pipes for it.
And she loves to dress up. I feel like she's a big costume person.
Yeah, cosplay.
Because she's into that. Yeah,
love it.
Her tour pictures are like tons of costumes.
Oh yeah, she does a lot of changes. Yeah, concert, but we'll have already been to the concert when this gets released. But officially 2 weeks away.
Mm-hmm. 2 weeks away.
To the hour.
Y'all already have tickets?
Yes,
floor seats.
Floor seats. Are you excited?
Yeah, I can't wait.
Yes, I just.
So, do you guys consider yourself super fans?
Honestly, Eli probably more than me. I think I started as like, I love her, she's hot, and like I like her music, and then doing this podcast I'm like, now I know so much more about her.
I started as I definitely love her music, and then the like when Teresa and I met, we started talking more about Ariana and became bigger fans. I have been a fan from the get-go because I've always loved pop music, primarily because I think her pop music has been, it's all held up. Like, as soon as I heard it, I was like, this is very good. It just took me a little while to really calibrate to a, it was about 2.5 years ago, maybe almost 3 years ago, where I was like, okay, now I'm like super fan, where I'm like, you know, and I didn't go to the concerts or anything. And then last year you started
going to shows. You consider her pop, right?
Oh, through and through. Absolutely.
But I feel like she does border on like R&B a little bit.
Sure.
Kind of like the Mariah vein a little bit.
Yes. Which
and
is,
I don't necessarily love the, that stuff, the R&B, the like,
yeah, we know.
I think she wants to be that. I think she's still very much pop, but I think she wants to be like, I feel like she thinks it makes her more credible or cooler.
I mean, she has like a, there's definitely an R&B and soul infusion in there. And thankfully with pop now, it's not as rigid as it used to be, where it had to be like a certain package deal. Like everybody, I do think the, like, there, what I really like about pop music right now is most of the artists, in my opinion, and maybe I'm being naive about this, but at least with female artists, you can differentiate them. Like, it's not...
Yeah, they're not the same.
Yeah, I think when pop, like in the late 90s, you know, it was boy bands, and through, it was, if it wasn't a boy band, it was a female pop star.
Yeah,
exactly.
Well, it's all mixed up now, because
it's,
I mean, like...
It's gonna be my.
What were you saying? I was gonna say, it's all kind of mixed up now, because when I think pop, I'm like, I mean, trap music is pop now, and that, like, used to be, it started underground, and now it's like pop. I don't mean like all trap music is pop, obviously. Yeah. There's like, but pop borrows elements of everything now, and to the point where you listen to it and you're like, it's just a mix of like the things that are most popular right now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Can we talk about how country music is rap music?
We can talk about it. Absolutely.
I mean, it's like the same. I love one of my, if I'm ever trying to make myself laugh in the car, I will turn on the contemporary country music station. Uh-huh. It is this music. It's the funniest shit in the world. Because it's not even guitars anymore. It's just like, hey, girl, gonna get your number and call you. You know, it's insane.
I mean, to me, that is like an algorithm. Like, that is almost engineered to be this like folksy, appealing to like a certain class of people.
Who is that?
In the South?
There's some like, comic. I want to say it was like Johnny Pemberton. Maybe he had this joke where he's like, new country music is music made for morons by people that went to Harvard. Like, they're the ones writing all that shit.
Well, there's, I feel like
if that's his joke,
we'll send this podcast to Johnny's reps.
Yeah, and send it to his reps.
I think country is very divisive. Divided. What I mean is there is, like, almost alt country now, where there's like Sturgill Simpson, Jason Isbell, Casey Musgraves, where there's a lot more different elements that aren't just country.
Yeah.
And then there's...
Was Wilco considered country?
No, I don't know what they're considered
like
officially.
Folky, right?
Yeah, but they're like folk. To me, I when I hear Wilco, I think jam band almost, just because of the following they have. Like Wilco, OAR, they all kind of fall into the same...
The Allman Brothers? Or wait, no, not the Allman Brothers. Were those Hanson Brothers?
Hanson?
Hanson.
Hanson? No, wait.
God, what is their... not the Allman Brothers.
I'm loving this.
They're like younger guys.
Well, it's funny because we went with Hanson.
The Property Brothers.
The Property Brothers. If you're talking about celebrities with bands, the Property Brothers, they do a pretty good job.
I love the Property Bros.
The Prop Bros.
Bang Bros. That's the one.
I'm a big fan of the Bang Bros. Also,
I love how this just got shorter and shorter
bang
and shorter.
Bus.
Oh yeah.
hey,
how did we get there?
I know, right? I was going with short. I'm like, oh, we went from Property Brothers to Property Bros. To eventually there's going to be the PBs. And he's like, Bang Bus. So with country, I think that, like, because I think Casey Musgraves is incredible. Big fan. And then, but I do think you're right. There's like an engineering to it.
Yeah.
And I guess you could say that with just about every, because, you know, when you hear like adult contemporary music, even that has like this very low Norah Jones-ish, almost like an RC Cola version of that now, where it's the same, you know, Coast 103.5 sound.
Dude, it's same thing on like, the alternative rock radio stations.
Oh, sure.
You know?
Yeah.
It all sounds the same, you know.
You know what's fascinating?
Radioactive.
Yep.
Oh. I'm like, cool.
Yeah, I hear cool Mumford music. If you play a Mumford and Sons song to me, every time I've heard a song, I always thought it was the same song, and it turned out it was like four different songs.
It's like four albums.
Yeah, it's crazy.
You know who I do love country-wise? Old school. Little Garth Brooks.
Mm. Yeah, you know, okay, so
some of his
up,
stuff is pretty good and holds up, I think.
Growing up, I was like, it was shoveled into my face that like country music is garbage.
Yeah.
Well, rock is good.
He was kind of original pop country, right?
But listening to some of his old songs.
Yeah, I mean like Friends in Low Places.
Yeah.
Mitch we turned this into the Garth Brooks podcast.
I drove like an hour and a half car ride with Mitch Burrow, and we listened to Garth Brooks, and I was like, oh, and that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Nice.
And fun fact about Garth, one of the first country performers to be supportive of gay marriage. He has a lesbian sister, and in the 90s, he came out in favor of gay marriage.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, that's great.
Which
that
is very
that
avant-garde for a country artist.
Because I automatically assume anybody country prior to like alt country wave is just like really like, you know, super right wing. Not
freaking moron.
What's that?
They're morons.
Well, you got the Dixie Chicks. They had a lot of pushback because of how outspoken they were against Bush.
Yeah.
Did you ever see their documentary?
No.
I heard it was good.
It's very good. It's really upsetting. It's essentially like how people were like, you know, they said it at a very specific time, and then it turns out they were right.
Yeah.
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 And there are people who are still like, you're canceled.
If they'd have been 2 years later, it would have been bandwagoning at that
totally.
Point.
Totally. But yeah. I do wonder if they hadn't said anything, would that have ushered it? Like, I almost feel like if they didn't, I don't know if that, outside of like Green Day and bands like that were very
wasn't
outspoken.
It also, was this, I don't know, is this around the same time? Like, Earl Had to Die.
It's a few years before.
That song was before.
Yeah.
And so I feel like they had this reputation for kind of being like angry. Mm-hmm. And I feel like there was something in the zeitgeist at the time that's like when they said that, like, you've crossed the line a couple too many times.
Yeah.
And it was, I don't know.
That's like a last straw type of stitch.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe I'm making that up, but.
I'm sure if looking back now, like back then, I'm sure that wasn't the way people looked at it. But on a like on a subconscious level, I bet totally that could track.
It's crazy that Green Day had a Broadway musical. Do you guys remember that?
That was American
Idiot. Didn't Alanis Morissette too, or something? They were trying to do one.
And I'm here.
When I was
cast me in that.
The first album I wrote
called
Hair.
She's gone to Hair Higher.
That's, oh man, Alanis Moore. If she did do a Broadway musical, I would go.
It should be called I'm a Bitch, I'm a Lover.
Yeah.
Wait, that's all right.
That's fine.
I'm like, oh my God, was I right? I mean, I'm like, okay.
The first album I ever owned was Dookie by Green Day. And that was.
I had that on cassette.
Yeah. Wow. Oh, I had it. That was the first
I'm
CD.
Old.
I used to have cassettes.
I have Kerplunk on cassette. Which was their previous album, but they
Kerplunk, all shit themed albums.
Yeah, and then Insomniac. I was a big Green Day fan
because I can't poop.
And then I remember they came out with American Idiot, and I was like, "Oh, this is a very different Green Day." I would argue they still performed well and really didn't change much. It's just that they went very overtly on their politics, which I was fine with. It just I remember being like. When I was a teenager to when I was in college and that came out, and I was like, all right, well, what's next?
Yeah. I'm not filled with angst anymore either.
Though
don't
I did
need to listen to them.
I did go to that concert. I went to the American Idiot tour.
I had that album. I bought it. Yep.
Welcome to a new kind of eight talk.
I like
we are from Southern California.
They're from Northern California.
Bay Area. Are you okay?
Yeah, well, MK was looking at his phone and I tried to hit it.
I was trying to look up the Alanis Morissette musical. I don't have any reception.
That fact check in there.
Should we listen to a bit of Bloodline?
Oh, yeah.
I think so. Absolutely.
All right, let me see. Okay, here we go. Here we go.
That's her laughing.
I like it.
I know.
I'm on board.
Yeah.
Love me, baby.
There's elements of trap there.
Oh, big time, yeah. Let's get to that chorus, yeah. Leave it, you gotta take it and leave it.
Want you in my bloodline. Yeah, yeah. Have a good time.
Good time.
So you guys do like the song?
I like it.
I mean, it's in there.
I feel like you like it in spite of yourself.
Oh yeah. In spite of it, I hate myself for liking it. But I didn't know, you know, that you know, there's something to be said about somebody engaging with their fans on social media, as someone who does that myself. No fan too small for me to engage or exist, writing empty messages to a...
Well, we're going to go through a little bit of the production history of the song and what it's about, and then we're going to do one of our favorite things, which I think you guys will absolutely love, which is that we go through the genius.com user-submitted annotations about the lyrics.
Whoa.
Yeah. Some
that
good
was
stuff there.
A lot of work.
You're gonna hear
got opinions.
What's that?
People got opinions.
Oh yeah, and they've got theories that rival grad school term papers. And so the song was written by Ariana Grande, Max Martin, Ilya, and Savan, and produced by Max Martin and Ilya. They are Swedish producers who have produced a lot of major I don't know how in the pop world you guys.
Oh wait, I've heard about. It's a company, right? A Swedish company.
Well, it's these three guys who work together. The three of them write songs together, and two of them produce.
Oh. Okay.
And they've also produced a lot of Taylor Swift stuff.
Nice.
Robin.
I didn't think about that. Yeah. I mean, she's stuff. Right down the street. I'm assuming Sweden is two blocks long. the record features a soundbite from Marjorie Grande's grandmother, in which she is...
Oh, is that the opening?
Yeah, that's her. Which people did know that it was Nona. That's what she calls her.
Uh-huh.
Oh, my God. You guys, two peas in a pod. Let's see here. Oh, so what it sounds like... what she's actually talking about, because she says, I'm doing the best I can, but they can't find something to satisfy me. Mm. She's referring to a hearing aid. Grande cut it down, so it sounds like she's talking about sex. Grande also stated that she used this soundbite because her grandmother is the matriarch of the bloodline.
Oh, yeah.
That's fun.
Smart. Yeah. Deep.
Just make your grandma sound like she's talking about sex.
I do think it's funny that when you're talking in terms of talking about the robotic element of Ariana, she is pretty, like, her parents or her mother and her grandmother are very, like, part of the brand.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What do you have to say for yourself, Simon?
I mean, robots making robots these days, you know. I'm going to have to, you know, really dive into some social media and really figure this out.
Does this fascinate you? I'm curious.
Well, now I'm fascinated, yeah. Yeah. I'm fascinated with the inclination to stalk.
It is weird when it's a celebrity and you do a deep dive versus like just someone you know or that you meet. That's like it's like such a different level of.
Yeah.
You feel less creepy about looking like Googling like, you know, how tall is Ariana Grande?
Yeah.
But if I'm like, how tall is Simon Gibson? Like that's,
I mean, I'll be honest with you guys right now.
Just like
Jizzled 5'10".
Just Googling any personal details about another person is just bizarre. Yeah. But when
how
it's
tall
a celebrity,
is Ariana Grande?
I don't know. Good she's question. Probably like 5'3", right?
I would say
she's
even
petite,
5.
Right?
She's little. She's little.
She's very tiny. I would say just 5 feet. That's my guess.
She's 5 feet.
Yeah,
man.
According to Google.
That is what's crazy to me is that like also with when you type in a celebrity's name, the next question is boyfriend or girlfriend, like the autofill, net worth, height.
Yeah. Gay.
Yeah, sexuality.
I feel like men. That's probably more.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Women.
And then like. And then then after that it gets more specific. It'll say like an album name or something that you know they paid Google to put there.
Did you know Cardi B is only 5'3"? Doesn't she feel like she's taller?
Yeah,
her presence is so like just takes up the whole room.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Well, Ariana too. Like, she has those extensions sometimes.
Yeah,
yeah, like they're
3 feet long.
That, that ponytail literally is half her size. Yeah. So the song has been compared to Side to Side, which I remember when I first heard it. That was my first thought. That's an earlier single from Ariana that she put out with Nicki Minaj, and another song called Greedy, which is one of my favorite songs. I disagree.
It's your favorite?
Yeah, I don't hear Greedy in this at all.
I don't either. But maybe because it's greedy to only want sex. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe lyrically. Okay, I could see that. And then the record. Okay, you guys are like, this is this is good TV.
Beautiful cactus.
So this is the actual. Oh, do you want to read the quote that Ariana said about the interview about getting her mom on the soundbite?
Yeah. So okay. So this was from an interview with Zach Sang. She was talking about hearing aid in the audio. She was talking about, here we go. My mom was like, you need a fucking hearing aid. And Nana was like, I can't. I don't like it. I can't find something to satisfy me. My mom was driving her crazy. So that's what that audio is about. I was like, this kind of applies to my life. So I'm just going to stick it at the beginning of Bloodline.
It's hilarious that she was recording this. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
When everything's content, you just gotta, you never know.
She does that a lot. She'll just record and then you hear her laughing like, in the back.
That's true, actually. Yeah, you're right. I didn't even think about it. For some reason, I forgot that she does that all the time. But it is funny that she pulled that one and was like, I do wonder if she was like, oh, I said, fuck it, let's put it in the song. Or do you think a producer was like sifting through all her content and was like, we can use this. You know what
I
mean?
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, yeah. Also, God. What, so I'm just on edge every time I'm hanging out with Ariana Grande that she's recording every freaking thing I'm going to say and comparing it how good I am at sex, you know? I'm just like, Ariana, stop it. We both know I'm great.
I mean, you should be so lucky to be recorded by her.
Yeah, and I'm sure that's what she thinks in her mind too, you know?
Oh, we were talking about that just in the last episode. For sure, we kind of had a conversation about that where when she takes something on or uses something in her art, it's like she's doing you a favor.
Yeah.
You know what it reminds me of in Mean Girls when Regina George goes, that's good, put it in the burn book. And Katie's like, oh shit, I was just saying a thing. I didn't want to put it in the it's permanent now. It's going to be in your album. Okay, I guess that's cool. Like, that's how it feels. Yeah. It's just like, that's good. We're going
to
use that.
Ironically, in using Mean Girls in her music video.
Yeah.
Which probably relates to that.
Do you think Ariana's a mean girl?
I think she's a popular girl. Like, I don't think she's an underdog. At least, I like that about her. At least she plays up, she knows she's cool. Whereas, Taylor Swift, who I like for other reasons, but also sometimes problematic. But she likes to play up, I'm the underdog. I'm on the bleachers. And you're like, bitch, you're, a beautiful model.
It's infuriating.
Doesn't your daddy own, the railroads?
Yeah.
He owns all the railroads.
Yeah. So I think she's,
just rich
owns
kids
it.
Being insecure. And, I mean, now that I know that Ariana is a very small, and was very popular, it's like you have to be.
Yeah,
you have to be conniving.
Well, I don't know if I'll
I mean that's how I am.
Wait, I'll say
and I'm a small piece of shit.
I'll differentiate her from Taylor Swift in that Taylor Swift I don't think ever had, whereas Ariana prior, she was a child actress, so.
Yeah.
She didn't necessarily come from privilege out of the gate. I don't know what her story. I actually
Ariana.
Yeah.
I'm saying that I like that Ariana owns being cool.
Yeah.
She's just cool. She is cool, and she's not pretending
to
be something
else. I will say her late night segments and stuff like that are actually pretty. I feel like they feel authentic.
Yeah.
Absolutely,
I don't think she's coming from and I think so many times, especially something like that, people are like. Da 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 da. You know, it's she feels it's actually she's kind of having fun.
Yeah,
I know she goes on Fallon a lot, which is basically Pepsi Cola, just of a late night show.
Yeah,
it's just a brand.
Ooh, can't wait to be on it. I'll tell you what. I love Pepsi. Always.
I think
I'll kill anyone who drinks Coke.
Somebody posted on Twitter. I believe it was one of the Fallon writers. Posted about how there was a thing where they had Ariana Grande fans come sing one last time in a booth and she surprised them. While they were in the middle of singing, she would just come out of the back curtain and be like, oh my God, you sound so good. And they'd be like, oh, they'd lose their fucking shit over it. And
That's nice. What if she came in there and was like, ugh.
You call that singing? But apparently they shot that over the span of 12 hours. And it got, what the writer said was they had way more coverage than they needed at that point, and they were like, well, we'll just tell the other people to go home. And she's like, no, bring them all in. And apparently she like had it. She got to like, so that way everyone could meet her and that
nice.
Certain people weren't left out of the whole thing. So aww. Yeah,
that's great.
It's
I like her.
Well, I know what we're listening to on the way.
Oh, I mean, we're just giving you a track from Thank You Next. You still have Sweetener, which
I
is
mean, the my favorite is the, what is it?
No Tears Left to Cry on Sweetener. Yeah, that's
oh, yeah, I know that one, too.
It's a good song.
And that music video is amazing.
It's so good.
Have you seen God is a Woman?
Do what?
You got to see the God is a Woman music video.
I haven't seen it yet.
A good music video.
I haven't gotten into the new Ariana album like at all.
It's very good. It's right. very different. The two albums are really good companion pieces. Yeah, yeah, and this one is a little bit. I would say they're the same length. I guess it's just less songs on the track listing, but like it has. Yeah, it's an interesting tone because the first one's like a much more upbeat thing, even though it deals with darker themes, and this one's like just straight up dark.
Isn't it crazy? I was just thinking about this. Like MTV and, you know, VH1, they don't show music videos.
Yeah,
but music videos in the last, you know, 5 or 6 years. The production value, I feel, is 100 times better than it ever had been in any, you know, they're like, I mean, I remember there was music, you know, like Backstreet Boys, you know, Want It That Way. That was kind of, but now they're just like, they're just these giant
armies. They're short films, basically.
Yeah, short films.
That, well, I think what happened.
Put that on my reel.
Look, in the 80s and 90s, music videos had big budgets. I mean, that's why some film directors started music videos. They just for 10 years were making $1 million a video. They were living so comfortably.
Mm-hmm.
And also they were shot on film. There's just a lot going on that you could have. And also MTV was like, yeah, you want to make a 9-minute video? We'll show it. And, you know, that's why you got like November Rain from Guns N' Roses. And even like. Even videos that weren't on as big of a budget, like Criminal by Fiona Apple, I remember was like a video that you would think of the video before you thought of the song.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
You know? And then I feel like in the 2000s, when like the mid 2000s, just no one gave a shit about videos anymore. It was mostly
Then they went through, I felt like, I mean, in that, like that Britney, NSYNC, Backstreet Boys, they went through a very formulaic.
Yeah.
Like they all had this like story structure, poppy, bubblegum.
Mm-hmm.
They were, I remember one, do you remember they did the making of the videos?
Oh, and the like, NSYNC
yes,
one where
those.
They were spinning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I feel like so many, and they've still influenced music videos that so many times. They're spinning, and there was a music video I watched the other day. I was like, oh, they're in a spinning room, and I get how they do that.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah, they do, yeah, they shoot it in a soundstage, and it's very, I think the reason now you can do like heavy production is also because it's way cheaper to shoot shit.
I mean, maybe that Ariana, I think that, what is it, the No Tears Left to Cry, there are scenes where she's like
spinning.
Going from wall to wall, and that I feel like that was NSYNC that inspired that. I don't know if anybody had done that before.
I mean, she's very heavily influenced by NSYNC. Like, she sampled it in this album. There's a song that she sampled. Wow. Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Nice.
That's a great, that's very.
I saw Lance Bass at the
what
Abbey
an astute,
a few months ago.
I saw him at Fresh Choice when I was a kid once, which is a salad bar, like, you know, one of those all-you-can-eat salad bars.
Ooh. Could go for one of those.
I want to talk
and
about
I'm
the,
talking about Lance Bass.
The Lance Bass. Oh, yeah.
Keep,
you can go for
going
yeah,
down
one
these
of
rabbit holes.
Go for all you can eat Lance.
I want to talk about the message of the song a little bit because you were mentioning, we're talking about like the themes from the last album to this. I feel like in this one, she's definitely. The last one was Sweetener was a lot of like lovey dovey trying to be like, I'm here, I'm ready for a relationship. And I feel like this one, she totally flipped around and it was like, just kidding. Especially
well, yeah, she got a relationship, right? But with the crazy guy who's losing his mind from SNL.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, she did. Yeah, it did go from like sweet and like now
she's
it's
like I'm ready for love. And this one was like, I don't want.
I don't want love.
Yeah.
I'm DTF. That's it.
But I kind of feel like it's a little bit rewriting. You know, when you get out of a short relationship that you were like. All in for a second. You're like, just kidding. No, I always knew that wasn't a thing.
It is about him, though, right? What, what's his name?
Pete Davidson.
Oh, God. I hate him so much. God, he's truly talented.
Wait, this song is about Pete Davidson?
Well,
no, I think the album about the love, right?
I think this song's about a little bit about Pete Davidson.
Just answer your question. Love that you asked that. Here's why. Because what we uncovered with this album, we repeated a little here, so I'll give kind of the Cliff's Notes version, is that that album was actually mostly written. Sweetener was mostly written while she was with Mac Miller. But they'd broken up and she started dating Pete Davidson. And then they shoehorned in a few songs that one called Pete Davidson, as you probably know.
Whoa, how long was she with Mac Miller?
A year and a half. Not very long. But she, yeah, then
R.I.P.
Then when they, yeah, when they started dating, they kind of marketed it more as like it, this is an album about finding love with Pete Davidson, even though it really wasn't.
Yeah.
So
now they broke up, and then this song even had, there's something I pulled in the lyrics that like references Mac Miller actually that I didn't realize. But is there anything you want to
let's go to it.
All right, cool. Do you want to do the first one?
Sure. Okay, so she goes, "Even though you're bad for me, I know you're the one that I'm thinking. Got me feeling so incredible." And Genius says, "This section is reminiscent of the pre-chorus from Grande's 2013 hit, The Way, a collaboration with her later boyfriend, Mac Miller. That goes, I got a bad boy, must admit it. You got my heart, don't know how you did it." Grande and Miller's relationship was bogged down by his substance abuse, which led to his fatal overdose in September 2018. Grande discussed the unhealthy nature of their relationship on 2018's Better Off. Grande could subconsciously be gravitating towards someone who reminds her of the unbalanced, turbulent nature of her relationship with Mac. Alternatively, she could be acknowledging that looking for a one-night stand could be an unhealthy coping mechanism.
Mm.
Mm.
I just want to say before we get into the that little lyrical breakdown, there's also a song that we're going to cover in a few tracks away called Bad Idea. And I think about that song a lot in relation to this one.
Sure.
But I do think that this is... like those lyrics particularly, I think that's one of the times where Genius really took a reach.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I don't think it's referencing...
Yeah, I don't see that similarity.
I don't at all. So that one, we're going to have to just say, you know,
just because she says the word bad?
Yeah. It's... yeah.
Genius.
More like idiot.
Yeah. More like Pete Davidson.
Wow. I am, Simon, you are out of control.
That's the only reason. That's why I came on this podcast.
Can I ask if there's anything particular that bugs you about him? Like the way he posts online or his.
Oh, I don't know. He's great. I'm just kidding around.
Oh, no, I'm not starting beef. I'm just genuinely curious.
I'm joking around. No, I find him unfunny and probably a terrible guy. He doesn't look good. He don't look like a good dude.
He looks like
he's making out with Kate Bosworth and
Beckinsale.
Beckinsale. You know what I mean?
Watch
get out of here.
Watch it.
He's making out with the Boz.
The
Bosworth.
The reason I feel like this song's more, I mean, I don't know when it was written. It might be about Mac, but the reason I feel like it's more about Pete is because of the bloodline thing makes me think of getting married and she was engaged to Pete.
Was he real sweet, though, to her?
I think he was.
Am I completely off base? He was in love with her.
Oh, big time.
And she broke him up.
Yes.
Is that why he's mentally broken now?
No.
I don't know about that.
I don't think so.
No, I don't think so either. I mean, look, they both were fresh out of relationships when they got into their
relationship.
He's dating Cassie David, Larry David's daughter.
Oh,
and
nice.
They
squat bump bump.
They broke up, and then 2 weeks later, he's dating Ariana Grande. She broke up with Mac Miller. 2 weeks later, was dating Pete Davidson. Like
they just like jumped in.
Yeah, but she clearly pulled the. You know, she was like, "All right, we gotta wrap this up." But,
wow.
You know, yeah, it's a sad story.
Ugh.
And
no, I'm sorry, Pete. Now I like you.
Who's she dating now?
Single.
She's single.
Single.
Yep.
Well, she was at Coachella this weekend getting a lemon thrown at her. I do know that.
She got a lemon thrown? I didn't see that.
I didn't know about that. I only knew Justin Bieber was the guest this week.
Justin Bieber was on, and then also somebody threw a lemon at her. But, like, not hard. And they're not even sure if it was thrown or just, like, tossed. But I thought it was...
Wait, she was on stage and someone threw a lemon?
There's a video. We can look up a video.
Did it actually hit her?
Interesting.
I think it touched her. It wasn't like it was pelted at her.
Sure,
it felt like it was, like, kind of... I want you to kill
that lemon and its whole family.
Yeah.
It's well, you know, it's no tomato. You get a tomato thrown at you, then you got to question your
real lemon up there.
But a tomato would be much softer than a lemon.
That's
right,
true.
Right.
That's true. Somebody throws a lemon.
And
at
see, this
Italian.
Is what I thought
She's
the podcast
Italian.
Was.
A tomato
I'm getting all
nice.
The hot time, like time
oh
sensitive references.
We normally do, but this is getting because we're recording a little ahead of time. Mm-hmm. We're doing like a separate Coachella.
She
thing.
Did have a. Did you see her interact with Jim Carrey?
Yes, that I did see.
Her what?
What had happened?
She Jim Carrey, well, I think she mentioned something about him, and it was like in relation
to... He posted
a thing
about depression.
Yeah, and she was talking about mental health, and then he responded to her, and then she responded back, and she said, I don't know if her... username was actually this, but she said like Jim Carrey lover 43 is very happy right now. Met, like, kind of implying that when she was a kid that was her username on AIM or something. Who knows?
I don't know if I believe that. I also think Jim Carrey was a little bit before, mathematically speaking, the height of his.
She was like 2 years old when.
Yeah, because he was a big deal in the 90s. By 99, he was already like Man on the Moon. He kind of, even though that was a well received performance.
When was Liar Liar?
97.
Yeah, but they were playing Jim Carrey movies on TBS for like the next 20 years after that.
Sure.
Too, you know?
Sure.
Liar Liar was kind of like a timeless sort of kids classic that was a bad Jim Carrey
enough
movie.
To make your username that, though? I don't know.
I don't know about that.
I feel like, although I'll say, like, you know, when you look at like Instagram and Twitter, people who are big Ariana fans like name themselves like Sweetener, Thank You Next, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and so I don't know. I think I just can't picture someone going Jim Carrey fan 5, 2 whatever. Like, that's the problem. It's that people don't put like Ariana fan. They put like Grande, Devoted, Yours Truly. You know what I mean? There's like a little more, or maybe the times have changed and people just got better about it. Maybe back then you didn't have to do the work.
Yeah, people were Puppies Lover. That was a big username.
My first foray was into a dog chat room. And my name was Husky712.
Aww.
Oh, man.
Shut up. It was because we had a Siberian Husky growing up.
That is.
Mm-hmm. And 712 is my birthday.
I thought it was because that was the first one available. I'm like, damn, there were 711 Huskies. But it was, wow.
Husky 712.
Seven.
And two of my friends from school were also in it, and they were Puggy and Collie, because one had a pug and one had a collie. Very strange.
What's
first
a dog chat
room?
Just to talk about dogs, or do you act like dogs?
It was a chat room about pets. But this was literally like the beginning of the internet.
Yeah.
This was like 96 or something.
When the chat room sounds were doors literally opening and closing.
Uh-huh, I remember that.
Let's here, there's a so
how old is Ariana?
25.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So yeah.
It's older than I thought.
Yeah.
Oh really? I thought she was
she was so petite, I would have thought she was younger.
Which is interesting, I guess, because thinking back now, her first album came out about 6 years ago. So she was 19 when it came out. That's actually old. Like, most pop stars do get groomed a little sooner.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So she did wait. Whereas, like, I mean, how old's Billie Eilish? 17 now?
I think she started. 16. When
Didn't she just beat a huge record?
Yeah, she.
Like four number ones or something?
Are you talking about Ariana or Billie
Eilish? Yeah, Ariana.
Yeah, yes, she did. She had a bunch of, like.
The only other people that have done it is the Beatles, or something?
Yeah, she broke a Beatles record. About time. Those guys, you know what? Fuck them. Just kidding. But
no, I'm not. I hate the Beatles. Pete Davidson. The Beatles.
Ariana should start a podcast on things he hates.
So speaking of Pete Davidson, in the middle of the chorus where she says, "Don't want you in my bloodline, just want to have a good time and no need to apologize, but you're going to have to let this shit go."
Mm. See, it feels like Pete.
Yeah. Here's where
Petey boy.
Here's the annotation. Ariana and Pete Davidson were engaged in June of 2018 and broke up in October 2018. If they would have gotten married and had a child, Pete would forever be in the Grande family bloodline.
And they put all that together.
And
don't want you in my bloodline,
Pete
Davidson. Time for you to move on, Pete Davidson.
Pete may be struggling to, quote-unquote, let this shit go since their breakup. In fact, they made an agreement not to speak publicly about it, but in November 2018 Saturday Night Live promo, he jokingly proposed to the SNL musical guest, a stunt Ari disliked.
But that's where I think she's being like popular girl annoying, because it's like he's a comedian. He's making a joke about himself, like how he proposed and jumps into a relationship soon. And he proposed without mentoring Ariana, just be like, "Will you marry me?" And I'm like, that's a funny joke to be self-aware of yourself, like jumping in. And if she got mad at that, I'm like, I don't know. Yeah. Like, that feels like.
And also, that is way less permanent than a song called Bloodline.
I know. Yeah. And she's mad at him. It's
It is crazy because it is like, what do you expect?
Bloodline's a really intense, like, choice of words.
Because you're saying, like, you're almost saying, like, you're not good enough for
I forgot. Yeah. When this album, the day the album came out, I was texting with Ellie McIlvaine, who was a guest on our very first episode. And we we're talking, she was like, Bloodline. She goes, that's a big jump. That was, and I said the same thing. Like, yeah, I did come around to the song a lot more, particularly the way it's tied to the two songs before this. Like, it's a, it's the Godfather trilogy to me. Take that how you will, Simon.
Dump, 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 squirtle it, ba-doo. Is that the theme to Godfather? Yep, I couldn't think of it.
That's what they use every time at the beginning of every Godfather.
But that is, all right. So she was so upset by his SNL stunt that she wrote this song about Bloodline.
You know, I don't think
was she already writing that song before?
No, I think I think the song would have happened with or without that joke.
So F you. You know what I mean? We're comedians, man.
Yeah.
We got to get it out there, man. Yeah. I'm pained. I got to talk about it. I got to joke about my pain. You know what I mean?
I also I think
you were going to write that song anyway.
Well, that's the thing. It's more permanent what she's doing than a comedian getting a laugh.
Yeah.
He can't do that joke again.
And making fun of himself versus she's for sure like this is an insult to him, not.
Oh, there's
about
no
herself.
Sort of like self-deprecation in that song or like I made some mistakes myself, you know, but it's like, I like your pee-pee, but I don't want you in my dee-dee.
In
my dee-dee.
I don't know if this is me reading too much into it, but when I heard Bloodline, I also thought maybe because of like Mac and Pete's history with drugs, there's some sort of like tangential relation to like getting drugs in the bloodstream, you know?
And interesting. You know,
I don't know if that's just like a subconscious connection, but for sure, just the idea of like, don't want you in a blood, like, you know, it's like your temporary thing. I don't want you in me. I don't want this to be a lasting thing. I'm
You're
not
going
to get, I don't want to get hooked, you know? Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. I do think primarily, like, I do think that that's a secondary bonus thing that does, like, I now that you're saying that, I'm like, ooh, I could see that being like, and it doesn't have to be even them with the drug problem, just them being,
well, love is a drug,
love,
right?
Is a drug.
And I've heard people say that, like, don't want to catch feelings.
Yeah.
Sometimes you're like,
sex is a drug.
Yeah. If I push someone away and say, I only want
to
hook
try
up
it someday.
thank you.
But if you don't let someone in, you can't get addicted or what have you, you know,
exactly.
to the feeling.
There's also, there's two more lyrics we're going to go through here,
okay.
Both one-liners. Do you want to do the next one?
Sure. Okay. She says, "I ain't looking for my one true love." Prior to the release of November 2018's Thank You, Next, Ariana openly admitted to being a hopeless romantic, a person in love with the idea of being in love. Evidently, she also wrote the December 2015 song, True Love, about her ex, Ricky Alvarez.
Ooh, I like that song. That's from Christmas and Chill.
Oh, yes. However, after several failed relationships and a broken engagement with Pete Davidson, Ariana turned over a new leaf and began focusing on herself rather than potential future lovers. On January 1st, 2019, Ariana tweeted to ensure fans that she was taking an indefinite break from any serious relationships.
Actually, can you? I think the next one ties into it well, too.
Okay, she says, yeah, that ship sailed away. That ship has sailed is a popular American idiom used to summarize a missed opportunity. Ariana could be using it to say her one true love, Mac Miller, is gone. He passed in September 2018 from a drug overdose. Ariana is also playing on ship to mean relationship.
Yep.
Oh.
And she tweeted,
or could
actually,
be that shit has sailed.
Yeah, it's true. And she tweeted.
Stinky.
The last thing we put on here was a picture of a tweet that says, actually, I don't want no next. True love doesn't exist. Hope you're having a great day.
Oh, wow.
Seems like she's doing great, you know, just denying
just
love
having a great
altogether.
Breakup. Yeah. And by the way, this is every comedian spiraling on Twitter.
Oh,
that's,
right,
you know what
sure.
I mean? Whenever somebody goes through this shit. Like,
yeah.
This isn't anything.
Man, if, you know, it's just one of those things where if Ariana Grande can't find love, what frickin' shot does the old Gibby have? You know what I'm saying?
Ooh.
How am I going to find it? Anyway,
I'll tell you how.
Moving on.
I'll tell you how.
The Beatles suck. Pete Davidson suck on this.
I don't know why anybody doesn't want to date this positive
Let's talk about the silence we just had after Simon. The sincere silence.
Let's never
silence.
Bring it up again.
That was spectacular.
That was pretty good. I'm in a relationship.
I don't get.
No, I'm not. Okay.
We don't get that kind of silence very often, and I love a good silent moment.
Yeah, nobody knew what to do.
Yeah, we were just like,
especially me.
All right, Simon. It honestly worked really well, hot off the heels of me just being like, well, you know, she's having a spiral, and you're like, I can take it from here.
I got it.
Yeah, I think that is an interesting... I'll give Genius.com credit for that one, where they said that ship sailed away. I'm like, oh, that is a Mac Miller tie, and that is the short for relationship as well.
Yeah. But I also... Okay, so here's the thing. I wanted to, previous episodes, I've said that Ariana, I feel like she's going through therapy and, like, getting better at, you know, whatever, finding happiness within herself. This song, though, I don't know if, what order she wrote it in, but it kind of undoes that a little for me. And I don't know if it's because it was written before or she just went through a phase and just wanted to get it out there for fun. To me, this reads as, like, someone who is not being honest with themselves, is not accepting their own feelings, does not know what they want. Because, like, what do you fucking want? Everyone wants to be loved. Sure. Just admit it, you know? Don't be like, I don't need your love. I just want to fuck. Like, that's not true at all. So just own that you dated someone that wasn't right for you, and, like, you might still be down to love in the future.
I think there's... Wait, did you want to say something? I felt like you were about to chime in.
No.
But it is a fun... I will say it is a fun song if you're going through that phase to play. Because it is fun to be like, fuck you, bitch. Like, you know, you weren't good enough for me. It's fun, even though it's not healthy.
This is where... So this goes to back to my thing about why the three songs tie in together and why... Mm-hmm. Because you're right. The song on its own, listening to it that way, you're like, oh, this person, after bearing her soul all this much, now suddenly is like, don't want you in my bloodline. Get the GTFO, you know? But then she has two songs just to fill you guys in a little more. She has a song called Needy, which is literally just about, like, constantly needed to be in a relationship, like, being very attached. Mm-hmm. And then a song called NASA about needing space. It's literally back-to-back.
NASA, wow. Space.
And then Bloodline. And I think this does have that kind of... The song is the window where you do have that attitude for, like, a week, where you're like, I'm just going to fuck. I don't want anything to do with anybody. True love doesn't exist because I just got my heart broken. You know, you're... Because right after a breakup, you do have this little licensed period where you're just allowed to really go off on a
it
nonsense.
It does feel to me a little like... It's a little dramatic.
Yeah.
Where, I don't want you in my bloodline. You know, it's like, by saying that, it actually makes it seem like you do.
Yeah.
You know?
It's like, huh.
I do like that kind of theatricality sometimes, but that says more about me than it does about...
I don't know that she's saying that, but it does. It's a little... When somebody's overly defensive about something, you're like, are you really okay?
Absolutely. You know? This is what's great about someone in their 20s. You just get to watch them go through the whole cycle. Right? Like, someone in their, I should say, in their mid 20s, like fresh at 25, you're you're being a 25-year-old right now.
Yeah. Should we rate the song?
Absolutely. What we do at the end of every episode, ooh, Simon's getting ready for this one. on a scale of 1 to 5 high ponytails, what would you rate this song?
You know what? You know, through the course of this conversation, I would have chopped a ponytail off at the beginning of this podcast, you know? Half a ponytail, a shortened ponytail. But hearing about all this, really telling a story, you know, I'm going to follow her on Instagram as soon as this is over. I'm going to follow Pete Davidson, too. You know what? I'm going to dust off those old Beatles LPs, and I'm going to put them on there. Put him on the turntable. So, hey, guess what?
He's only listening to arithmetic pop at this point. Yes. It's just all formulaic pop.
I'm going to give the song, you know what? I'm going to give it three ponytails. Okay. It's got three ponytails up from half a ponytail. So, you know, who knows? By the drive home, I'll crash MK's car into a tree.
I'm going to say solid 5 ponies.
Fuck yeah.
Somebody's horny needs to jump on the pony.
I was really impressed when it was actually the first time I listened to it was when we were driving over here. And I was like, oh, I would definitely listen
to
it.
You immediately liked it.
I did.
Yeah.
And Simon didn't. And I was like, ugh.
That made you like more.
Here we go again. Freaking odd couple.
Episode 3. They argue in the car about bloodline.
Five ponytails.
I'll go 4. I like it a lot, but it's not my favorite. I didn't like it that much before because I think maybe what I didn't voice it until just now when I said it, but I think what I didn't like was the not being honest with yourself. But now that we've all talked about it, I'm like, it's okay to go through that, put it down on paper, and then move on. So... It's fine that she did that as long as she knows how to move on from it.
Yeah, that's interesting. What's funny is when I first heard the song, it would have been a 3-4 ponytail song, mm-hmm. and then a week later, five ponies, and it's been there ever since. Even with this, this did kind of make me think about it a little more, but it ties so well to the other songs. It really is like a, I listen to all three always together, mm-hmm. but it's a great song. I'm right there with you. Five just, ponies. Just a solid, really good pop song. It's a lot of fun, very catchy. And I'll expand more on Bad Idea as to why that I like a lot, but not as much as this one.
Okay.
So all that being said, thank you guys so much for being here. This was super fun. This was great. This was really fun. And we love having people on who don't necessarily aren't like Ariana stans, because we have stans and we can get into it, but it's a different kind of getting into it.
Yeah.
And
I came in with an open mind, you know.
Maybe, oh, yeah. Absolutely! I think
I proved I'm a pretty positive guy.
Sound off. He interacts with his fans. Sound off in his comments.
Yeah, sound off. I freaking dare you to DM me. I'll add you back. I'll
smash
follow you back.
That follow.
Where
button. Can
we find you on the internet?
On Twitter, Instagram. It's Simey Gibson, Simey Gibson, little baby. And that's me. And I keep you up to date on all my dumb bullcrap.
And MK?
You can find me at MK Paulson, PAULSEN.
Ooh.
At old MK Paulson.
Slash Big Hog.
Slash Big Hog. That's my nickname. New nickname. Nobody's called me that.
nobody agrees.
Trying to get it grow. Yeah, you know. Well, trying to spread false rumors.
Simon Big Hog. Thank you. So I've caught on.
Thanks.
And you can find us at Pod Issa Woman, 2 S's on Instagram.
And I'm at Larissa T on Twitter and Instagram.
Eli Olsberg on Twitter and Instagram as well. And we'll be back next week with Fake Smile. Don't want you in my bloodline.